Hello and welcome to the American Human Fireside Chat. My name is Rinkel, and I will be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Robin Gentzer, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Rinkel. Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you for joining. This is our seventh fireside chat for our special friends of American Humane. Yes, we've hosted seven of this incredibly special time together. And, of course, we got the inspiration from FDR. Actually, friends, it was in 1933 that Franklin Delano Roosevelt began his famous series of radio addresses that he called his Fireside Chats. And he hosted his Fireside Chats to really help rally the nation against a global crisis. Today, here we are, 87 years later, we find ourselves in another global crisis, one that's been brought to us via China's notorious wet markets, where disease and filth are served alongside illegally traded exotic wildlife. And, of course, we brought that to attention in a powerful New York Daily News op-ed just last week. The need for humanity and kindness is greater now than ever before, as we can see from the devastating results around us. In just a few days, American Humane will not only be bringing more people into the compassion movement through our historic Be Kind to Animals Week, which we've been using to build a better world for 105 years, but we're also going to be unveiling a new deal for animals, a 10-point international platform. It's a true new social contract that we're working on at American Humane that seeks to galvanize the entire world to the humane cause at this critical time. Be sure to keep a lookout for articles and join a call in another week as we share with you the details of our new deal, our new social contract for people, animals, and the world we share. Well, today I'm going to be sharing breaking news on our work at American Humane to improve and save the lives of animals around the world. And I'm so especially pleased to be sharing it with you and with a special guest, a very good friend of mine who's joining us today. I'm thrilled that Barbara Niven is joining us. She's one of the most talented and beautiful people that I know. She's an actress, a producer, a writer. She's best known for her performances on Hallmark and Lifetime, but she's also been a favorite on One Life to Live. But she starred and directed in an amazing and almost impossibly long list of hit TV shows and movies, including ER, Cold Case, Las Vegas, NCIS, Charmed, Pacific Palisades, Chesapeake Shores, Silk Stockings, and this beautiful woman even played Marilyn Monroe in the HBO film The Rat Pack. She's an animal lover, a superstar, and truly one of the most special people I know. And you've also seen her as one of our VIP presenters on our American Humane Hero Dog Awards. Barbara, welcome.
Oh, my gosh. What an intro. Thank you so much. And out of all the things that I do, Robin, American Humane and being a national ambassador and working, being a small part of what you guys do is what I think is my most important thing. That and my grandchildren, actually.
That's wonderful. Well, Barbara, I have so many great memories of you sharing the word for your love for animals, and I particularly remember that a few years ago you volunteered, you raised your hand to go and deploy with our rescue team in a horrific puppy mill case in Washington State. What are your memories of that deployment?
Well, stopping puppy mills has been a real cause of mine for so long. My little Yorkie Lucy passed away last year at 16 and a half. But before I knew about puppy mills, I went to the Beverly Hills Mall and went into a pet store and found this cute little Yorkie puppy. And if only I had known what her mother and her father must have gone through, I would have rescued them and started putting the word out then. But I didn't know. And the more you know, the more you can do to help. And so what we did when I was lucky enough to get to deploy with American Humane, when we got there, the first thing that I saw at this at the base camp where we were all working, and it was almost organized like an army. Amber was there, and everybody just knew exactly what to do. All the rescues in the area had come together, and it was just so organized for the animals. There were 250 animals just from deplorable conditions, and they had to intake the animals, do veterinary checks, feed them, etc. And since I was low man on the totem pole, and I didn't know I didn't know the medical state, I didn't know any of that, so I just volunteered. So my job was to fold and clean and sterilize those big dog crates every day. I'm not young, but I never worked so hard in my life, but it never has been so fulfilling in my life either. And and we, every day at the end of the day, we would just go back and we were sharing hotel rooms and bunking together just so we could get enough sleep to go do it again. But the thing that I remember the most is one of the biggest honors that I've ever had was when you deployed a new truck, a disaster relief truck, by the Lois Pope Station, remember a few years ago? And you allowed me and some of the other ambassadors, too, to put our dear pictures of our dogs on. So Lucy was on the side of that truck, and so was Maggie, who's still alive here right at my feet right now, and also Pepper, who's passed away last year. So the first thing that we saw when we all drove up into that base camp was the American Humane truck, and my babies were on the door watching and waiting for us. And they were like angels watching over all and helping all of us help all those other poor little spirits and animals. So it was truly, it was like a miracle. It was really life-affirming and hope-affirming and gave us so inspiration and motivation to keep doing more, which is what you guys do.
Oh, Barbara, that's beautiful. And what a great story about the rescue truck, too. We have six of those trucks around the country and a big rig, and, you know, these trucks really do are, they're symbols of hope after natural disasters and times of crisis such as local cruelty cases, neglect cases. These trucks have been deployed about everywhere, and I'm so glad you got to see your babies on the side of one of our rescue.
And you guys do the floods. You every time there's a disaster, you guys are first responders on the scene. And all of you, wherever you need to be, wherever there is need, you're there. How did that start, Robin? I just find it fascinating. How did that all start, please?
Well, our rescue program started over 100 years ago on the battlefields of World War I. We're really proud of this legacy. It was actually the U.S. Secretary of War that came to American Humane CEO at the time, Dr. William Stillman, and he asked Dr. Stillman, he said, please send your volunteers and your forces overseas to take care of our war horses. We need a volunteer corps to do that. We're fighting in World War I trench warfare where there were cavalry used. It's the last time that cavalry was used in a major theater of conflict. And we went over there as American Humane through what he named our Red Star Rescue Program. So it's well over 100 years, again, commissioned by the U.S. Secretary of War, which would now be our Secretary of Defense. And we've enjoyed an incredible 100-plus year history and legacy working alongside our nation's military to perform such service for military animals. It started with war horses, and then today, of course, we continue that work for military working dogs. But that was the beginning, the birthing of our rescue program, which now has been such a leader in animal rescue. We were the first animal rescue group, and it just happened to be that we were born in World War I, one of our incredible times of global crisis. And we still deploy today.
You think about that. The cavalry, and, you know, we hear about the deaths of humans, but we don't think about the effects of war on the animals, not just the horses that they were using there, but in all the areas now. And, you know, I'm so glad and proud that you guys are helping not only the people that are in disasters, but also the animals that they love. and you work so well to make life better for both. I know Lois Pope has really done so much with the war veterans program.
Yes.
And every time that we do one of the American Hero Dog Awards, there's always so many categories for dogs that are winning, you know, or that people have put their stories up, and only one dog can win, but they're all winners. But it's mm-hmm. fascinating to see how you are now rescuing dogs and humans and putting them together for the people that are going through PTSD and all of that. Can you just tell a little bit about the wonderful things that you're doing right now with that?
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Yes, we've got tons of updates to share with you on that. Particularly, I have a little bit later on, I have a letter from one of the veterans that I'm going to share with you, and it might have been a veteran that you have met at one of our events, and his service dog, Sasha. So I'm going to read that in just a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you today, this very day, we have 23 service dogs and veteran teams in training as part of our Pups for Patriots program. Really proud of this, because through Pups for Patriots and Wags for Warriors, these legacy of these incredible, iconic American Humane programs, we have actually provided healing leashes for over 150 veterans. And I believe, as does members of our board of directors like Colonel Campbell and Admiral Carney, that these dogs really do save our warriors' lives. And I know you believe that. You've met them. And absolutely. You know, Barbara, you have been just a ray of sunshine, serving as one of our national ambassadors, and even took one of our global trips with us as part of our conservation initiative. So many people look up to you as being a source of positivity. What words of advice would you offer for our folks, our American Humane community, finding themselves quarantined for, you know, many, many, many weeks? Again, we've done 7 fireside chats. This is our 7th. Fireside chat. What advice, what thoughts do you have to share with our animal lovers on the phone with us today?
Well, you know, when I was listening to your first fireside chat, I think I was the first one that raised my hand at the end. And all of you listeners out there can raise your hand at the end and make a comment or ask questions, and we'd love to hear from you. Because it's not just us talking, this is global. And we need to just spread the positivity, as Robin is saying. But when I called in, Robin, do you remember? I could hardly talk because I was I was so emotional. I could hardly get a word out because we are all living so isolated right now. It's like the world is topsy-turvy, like Armageddon, and all we hear are bad things on the news and all of that. But what I think we need to take away from this, in the midst of all of this, is also to remember what we are grateful for every single day, and what are we learning each day about ourselves in this imposed stillness that we have. I am grateful because I've got dogs. I've got 3 little dogs and 2 cats here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see my grandkids except through the car window from 6 feet, so that's tough. Mm-hmm. But I'm just finding some wonderful things happening in the stillness. We have not had Thank you, Lord, anybody that in my family who's had coronavirus. We think maybe Jessica's family did, but they couldn't get the test then. But all the people out there who have lost loved ones, the numbers are so high right now. And each one of those we have to remember as a family, as a friend, and it can just be so overwhelming. So all we can do is come together in times like this and find positive things to share with each other, our stories. I try and do that on my Facebook page to put out positive things, and people are finding so much solace in their animals right now. Everybody is, and you know, you see all the funny TikTok videos, et cetera, the animals are getting tired of having us home. But animals, that's why they're so important for what you're doing with the military, with the PTSD and how healing it is. Because no matter what is going on, your animal is there to love you and quiet you. And if it can quiet our minds in this kind of pandemic that we're going through right now, imagine what it's going through to somebody who's been so traumatized as a as a war veteran who's coming back and is suffering from PTSD and nightmares, etc. And those dogs, they can be trained to help. And I think what we have to keep thinking about is that we are all in this together. We all have cabin fever. We all want to get out, but we've got to do this for not only just ourselves and our families, but for all the essential workers out there, the mailmen, the grocery store clerks, the transit people, the nurses and the doctors and the EMTs and the people who are, oh, my gosh, having to handle the poor deceased bodies in the morgues. We think that we have it bad. We need to just buck up and just throw our energy and our prayers and our love and support into them right now. We can get through this, but we can't be babies about it. We have to just, like FDR would say, by the way, you would make him very proud, Robin. And we just need to get through this time and as a society get through it. And just if we all do it, then we will all get through to the other side much faster. But one person can't wreck it for other people. And I just want to also just say one thing that I believe in so much is this quote. It's my favorite one. It's don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle.
That's beautiful, Barbara. Barbara, that's beautiful. You know, Barbara, thank you so much for sharing that quote, your positivity with us, your incredible energy and spirit. In honor of you being involved with American Humane, sharing with us your time, we're going to give a grant to your favorite shelter or rescue group for part of our Feed the Hungry program honor. So let us know the name of your favorite rescue or animal shelter, and we will rush them the emergency money so that they can feed some few more animals. Isn't that incredible?
Gosh,
thank you.
Thank you. Can I just say something? We have to keep finding roses in all of this.
Yes.
And there are roses. Look around. During your day, there are so many little blessings that I think when we're so busy and our minds are full and our schedules and our calendars are full, we miss all those little, beautiful little things. And one of the blessings right now that you've also talked about are that the shelters it's hard to find either to foster or adopt a dog right now because people are realizing again the value of having this time and having an animal in their lives and in their families. And so I want to give out a big shout out, please, to Larissa Wohl, who is at Hallmark. She is the head of the Pet Adoption Initiative. And I've known her for years. I would see her at the American Hero Dog Awards, and I've done some other things with her on Home and Family. But she did something so personal for us for about 2 weeks now, and it was literally so above and beyond. My daughter Jessica and her husband Jorg, and I've got three grandkids. I have baby Wolf, who's 22 months, Solstice is 4, and I've got River, who's 8. And they have all been home, you know, and they're all, Jesse's trying to work from home and homeschool, the whole bit. And they've always in the back of their head said, you know, someday we'll get a dog. Someday. Well, now they're all home, as is everybody, and that's why that the shelters are empty, which is a blessing. But when you actually want to finally actually go get one, most of the shelters are not open right now because of COVID. It's not safe. And it's just been very, very hard. So Larissa has spent, we've been texting with her, literally, Jessica has been texting with her probably 10 times a day, going through the internet, going through all the rescue organizations, et cetera, and trying to find when they brought one home and it was not a great fit, and they found another perfect fit for it because the foster wanted to keep it. It was very active to little dogs, and I've got my little dogs here, so it has to be good with kids and dogs, and that's the beauty about fostering or adopting, because you get to know the dog and where it's going to be best place for the dog for the least stress. Not just for you, but it's also the best home for the dog. Well, would you
tell me,
2 days ago, they actually...
You got a dog.
They got a puppy. And it's it's Foxy and Friends Rescue. And they saw a post on Instagram, and there were seven puppies and a mama. that I don't know that what their story was, how they got there, how they got turned in, but seven puppies. And Jessica and Jorg got the last puppy 2 days ago, so they now have had two nights at home. And it's a little half lab, half pity mix, a little blondie, so it goes with the family.
Very nice.
Sweetest thing. So I'm going to post some photos, but what a blessing. And if this had not happened, if we had not quieted our lives a little bit and slowed down a little bit, it never would have happened. We always put things off for someday. And you know what?
Yes.
The beauty of this is to think, I don't need to be as busy as what I have been when we do get back to normal. I've been washing and grooming my own dogs. I looked at four YouTube videos on how to groom with clippers.
Just don't cut your own hair, Barbara. Just don't cut your own hair.
No, I tried that. I don't know when I go back to filming Chesapeake Shores, I'm going to have like something in the back. They can only film me from the front because I can see the back, so I kind of pull it up and did it. It's so weird now, but Oh well.
Well, Barbara, I'm so glad you shared that story, and I want to invite you to stay on the line while we cover our rest of our updates from American Humane's programs. And again, I'm so happy about the puppy, and please give Larissa my very best. But will you stay on with us while we continue our update?
I would love to.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to make you smile for sure. Well, friends, that is our beautiful friend Barbara Niven, one of our incredible national ambassadors, and I love the fact that her daughter and her daughter's family now have a puppy. So, and that's thanks to Larissa, who heads up the pet project at Hallmark Channel. So that's great. Well, friends, guess what this next week is gearing up to be? It's the 105th year of our Be Kind to Animals Week, 105 years. This is the longest-running commemorative week in United States history, and it's the most successful humane education program of all time. Every year during the first full week of May, millions of Americans come together to really share their concern for and improve the wellness and welfare of animals, and generations of kiddos have learned the value of treating all of creatures on this earth with care, and this year is no different. In fact, this year, as Barbara suggested, we have time in the stillness to even celebrate this incredible commemorative week. In fact, we know as animal lovers that the global pandemic was brought about by the mistreatment of animals and our broken social contract with animals, and I believe kindness to animals is more important than ever, and we teach by example. In fact, one of the examples that we know has been incredibly successful is our new Feed the Hungry campaign. We are now feeding 323,000 meals for abandoned cats, dogs, horses, goats, and other animals. And this is where foot traffic and resources have been down at so many rural and remote shelters. I'm so thrilled that we've been able to, in this crisis, deliver to the state 323,000 meals for hungry animals. That just warms my heart every day and gets me up every single morning to grant more. I love it. We're so grateful to everyone who's given and pledged this campaign, and really wonderful gifts from my wonderful friend Leanne Kazma, the Marta Heflin Foundation, two wonderful donors from Texas and Oregon who prefer to remain anonymous. Thank you so much for your incredible kindness. And everyone can support this fund by going to AmericanHumane.org, and we're working every single day to get life-critical food, medicines, and supplies to our best friends in their worst time. One of the grants we made was to the Grand Strand Humane Society in Myrtle Beach. Jess Wanick wrote to us. She said, "We're sending a huge thank you to American Humane today. Places like Grand Strand over the years have been helped by American Humane, especially during times of crisis. And they're doing it yet again through a Feed a Hungry grant program. This program is allowing Grand Strand Humane Society to allow a food bank so that Grand Strand. We're so grateful for their assistance and love that we're able to keep pets with the families that love them most." Well, you're welcome, Jess. I'm so happy that you have that grant and you're able to give very important food bank supplies to families who are feeling the pain of the pandemic. And many, as I love that Barbara shared the story about rescuing and adoption right now, pandemic pets is what we call them, and we're so thrilled that so many shelters have found fostering and adoptions to have happened. That is terrific. Please keep that up. Share that message. We want every animal to have a forever loving home and be adopted from our rescue and shelter groups. Friends, as you know, it's Be Kind to Animals Week kicking off May 3rd through May 9th, which is really, really important. We also know that a lot of kiddos are at home, so you're being homeschooled right now. A reminder that our Humane Heroes books are available for free. Fun lesson plans are also for free. In fact, I even recorded a video, a storytelling time for Volume 1. Our Humane Heroes books and fun lesson plans, which parents can, kiddos can read together, really can help introduce youngsters to remarkable endangered creatures, which are being helped right this very moment at American Humane Certified Zoos, Aquariums, and Conservation Centers. And you can learn more at AmericanHumane.org/storytime. And again, those videos are there. The curriculum is linked there, as well as you can download each and every book, Volume 1, 2, and 3, through ebook platforms, again, for free. This entire series won Teacher's Choice Awards in 2020, and I think that's so much fun that they won the Teacher's Choice Awards. And so it's really quality curriculum and great video storytelling that you can use if you're home with your kiddos or your grandkids. And what always makes me smile is hearing great animal stories. And they're not just for kids, they're for us adults too. You know, there's incredible zoological centers around our great country and around the world that really do serve as arcs of hope for endangered animals. Our friends at Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium recently reached out and shared some stories with me. They have provided important food for 400 animals at another zoo in need of help because they have all been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. They delivered more than 600 bales of hay to their colleagues, and I love that they did that. Thank you, Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium, for helping out your friends and our friends in need. The two truckloads of food, I'm sure, were greatly appreciated at a time when we all need to pull together. My wonderful friend Barbara Breaker, who heads the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium, told the press that in this critical time, it's a challenge to continue to feed and care for our animal collections in zoos across the country. We're working closely with them on many conservation efforts, and we're happy to help feed their animals. Thank you, Barbara. You are one of the guardian angels, just like our own Barbara Niven. So grateful for Barbara Baker. And my friends right down the road at American Humane Certified's Miami Sea Aquarium worked with other groups to rescue a 1,200-pound pregnant manatee. This manatee had gotten her flippers and tail entangled in fishing line debris, and the rescue team was able to free the mommy manatee, treat her, and release her back into the water, which is good news for mom and baby. And my good friends at the San Antonio Zoo, also certified by American Humane, has been this group has been an incredible leader in the war against extinction, and they have really helped the whooping crane. And I'm so thrilled that this Easter a very special egg was laid, and that was an egg laid by a whooping crane. So they're now expecting a baby in just a couple weeks, and it's really stories like these that really bring us hope for the future of these incredible animals. And I am so grateful for the work of our American Humane Certified Zoos and Aquariums on the front lines in the war against extinction. And speaking of eggs, I do love that Easter egg story, by the way. There are over 340 million egg-laying hens in the U.S., and it's our privilege at American Humane to be helping so many of them live good, humane lives. In fact, American Humane certifies about 90% of cage-free eggs in our country, and with very generous space standards for free-range and pasture-raised hens. In fact, you can do your part as you're shopping and feeding your families during the pandemic and every single day by looking for the American Humane Certified Seal when you shop. And you'll be getting humanely raised food that tastes great, and it's also ethical. And I just love our American Humane Certified farmers and ranchers for stepping out and being heroes in this time. I've been making lots of egg dishes, and they're easy, they're low calorie, full of great protein, and one of my favorite recipes is from Eggland's Best, another American Humane Certified producer. It's called Cloud Eggs with Spinach. And you can find the recipe at egglandsbest.com. It really makes you look like a professional chef when you make this, and it's very, very easy. So trust me, it's a beautiful dish, cloud eggs with spinach salad. It's fantastic. It really, it makes your food look like the clouds, and your family's going to think you're an angel when you serve them that, particularly this weekend. That recipe's available at egglandsbest.com. And again, a big shout out, as we delivered a big shout out in an op-ed last week on Fox Business, for all farmers and ranchers who are really on the front lines and allowing our food supply to be strong during these incredibly challenging and dark times. So thank you, and a special shout out to the American Humane Certified Farmers and Ranchers. I love you. And who else I love? Our hero dogs. Whenever I have one of those moments where I've been watching the news too long, I go to our website, herodogawards.org, and I start to read some of the nominations of this year's 408 heroic hero dogs in the running, the best of our best friends. And Barbara, I know you've honored us by being on our show for years, and I know you'll be thrilled to hear that some of our most heartwarming stories of canine courage are coming up in this year's campaign. Barbara, I hope you'll come back and present at this year's Hero Dog Awards.
Oh, my gosh, I was hoping you were going to ask me. Yes, thank you. I love all the dogs. There are two that have really stood out to me. One was Harley, the first year I got to present. Remember Harley, to help stop puppy mills?
Absolutely.
He won Hero Dog of the Year, and he was just this beautiful little guy with an eye out, because in puppy mills, the dogs are not thought of as beings. They're just thought of commodities, and they often, the little dogs get injured because to clean the cage, they use, like, fire hoses, and they got his eye out. It's just horrifying. And then 2 years ago, do you remember when Willow was there? You know, the wet markets and the whole movement that we've worked so hard
in
on.
Korea.
To stop the cat meat trade. Nami Kim is one of my heroes, because she's worked so hard to be on the front, front edge of working to help stop the dog meat trade over in Asia. And she came, and I met her, and Willow I met. And Willow's quote was, "I am not food." And that little dog, no matter what they've gone through, that's what's extraordinary about dogs and animals. No matter what they go through, they still forgive. And that little Willow was just there and so graceful and non-judgmental and just this little angel. And if we could only be like animals and learn how to forgive and learn how to trust and learn how to just put out
love,
Barb. No matter what.
Absolutely. And one story that I want to give you a preview of this year, Barbara, and for all of our listeners, again, there's 408 heroic hounds in the running, the best of our best friends. And one of their stories is the story of Aura. Aura is a trained hearing service dog. She became her owner's ears after that person lost their hearing in a rocket attack in Afghanistan. I know, and the nomination goes on. I was in despair after my injuries. I needed a helper. What I received was a fur guardian angel. She has restored my independence. I went from being a blown-up deaf person to a person who now feels safe and secure in the world. Aura never has a day off, and I rely on her to keep me safe. She's allowed me to pursue my passions and purpose in life. I would trade my ears for Aura any day. She knows I'm deaf, but she loves me anyway. Always by my side, head up and ready for anything. She's my hope. I'm forever grateful to her. There's not a medication or a therapy that could do for me what Aura does for me every day. She's the epitome of a hero, putting others before herself, ensuring my safety over hers, and her constant service to ask to me, asking for nothing in return. We will continue to explore, travel, and enjoy all the world has to offer. This line will get you, Barbara. She is my most sacred companion.
Oh,
doesn't that get you?
Oh, yes.
I know.
Yes.
Yes, Aura, thank you for being a hero when you were needed most. And friends, I know these stories are what I need. They lift me up every single day.
Yes.
Don't they, Barbara? And you can go and vote at HeroDogAwards.org. Vote for your favorites in each of the seven categories. And a big shout out that the American Hero Dog will be unveiled at the 10th Annual Hero Dog Awards, presented by the beautiful Lois Pope Life Foundation, and broadcast nationwide on Hallmark Channel this fall.
Yay.
And Barbara, I'm so glad that you will come back and join us. And
We go through, like, you have to wear waterproof mascara for sure.
Yes.
And you go
yes.
through an absolute box of Kleenex. And usually Allison, Sweetie, and I sit side by side, and we just weep together and, laugh, cry, because each one of the dogs are more extraordinary than the other. I don't know how people choose. But it's this kind of thing that you're doing, Robin. It does give us hope. That the time that we're in is not going to last forever. And maybe it's a time to reflect on, when we all do come out of this, what are we going to do better to make a difference in the world?
Right.
Even. I personally believe that maybe some of this is happening because the world is trying to heal itself. Since we've all been down, we all know that the pollution has gone down. So much things, we see honeybees again, we see butterflies, we see wildlife taking back the areas of the cities again. And maybe we just need to be more cognizant and find ways to be better stewards of this sacred gift in this planet that we've been entrusted, of all beings, that's being human and plant life and all creatures, great and small.
Well, that's why you're one of our ambassadors. You can help us spread that message of compassion, Barbara. And, Barbara, as you've opened, you asked about our service dog programs, and now I've got another story for you that I wanted to share and all of our listeners. I know this program touches your heart. It touches everyone's heart. I work at the military over 100 years now of working alongside our nation's military, reuniting war dogs with their battle buddies, and also providing our wounded warriors facing those invisible wounds, PTS and TBI, with a service dog. And I have a letter from my good friend John, one of our great veterans, and his service dog, Sasha. I'm going to read this, and I think, Barbara, it might bring a tear to your eye and that of our listeners. Here's from John. Robin, I wanted to send you an update on how Sasha and I are doing during this time of social distancing and staying at home. I'm one of the Americans who has a weakened immune system, so social distancing and staying at home is something I have to take seriously. Yet during this time, I have Sasha to help me with the emotional and physical difficulties I face. Sasha's importance to me has become magnified while staying home. She is very tuned into me and all my levels of anxiety and distress. If she senses that I need to get outside, Sasha will come to me with her ball. This gets me up and motivates me to get out and stop concentrating on what's happening and the feeling of being trapped inside my own home. This crisis compounds the symptoms of PTS by adding the stresses I already battle, including thoughts of hurting myself, which seem to come up more frequently. Having Sasha with me, I'm able to redirect my thoughts to her, using her to ground me. She reassures me that I'm not alone. Basically, I don't know how I would be if she wasn't here with me. Thank you very much for your dedication to veterans like me, Robin. I'm forever in your debt. Well, John, I love you. I love Sasha. We all do. And we're thanking you today for service to our country. And Sasha, we're grateful for your service to one of our brave veterans. We salute you both. And Barbara, I know that story would touch your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, John, yes, thank you so much for your service and Sasha. Mm-hmm. And Do you please, John, give her a hug from me and all my little fur babies and also an extra treat and say it's from Auntie Barb.
I love that.
Okay.
Well, friends, we're getting that's great. Well, friends, we're getting ready to close our seventh Fireside Chat as we begin to celebrate the 105th anniversary of Be Kind to Animals Week starting this Sunday. It seems to me that compassion is more important than ever. It's too easy in the midst of a crisis to become focused on the immediate, on self. But even as we adjust to the new reality of our world, we together can and should do something to improve it. I would ask all of you to join me and everyone everywhere to go to our website and social media pages next week and take our kindness pledge. Our kindness pledge is simple. We're pledging to help animals on farms and ranches by seeking out American Humane Certified foods. We're pledging to help animals at entertainment by watching shows with the No Animals Were Harmed seal. We're pledging to help preserve disappearing species by visiting American Humane Certified zoos, aquariums, and centers of conservation. And, of course, we're pledging to help adopt and foster animals in need. Friends, it's a very simple kindness pledge, and I hope you'll join me by doing so, pledging to prevent animal cruelty, making a difference in the lives of animals who are suffering. And friends, I ask you to join me and help spread the campaigns, our newsletters, and our annual impact report. They're all available on our website, and they can help recruit new humane warriors for our cause, which is more vital than ever. Friends, I thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do every day for the cause of animals. Together, we are their voice. And friends, I look forward to speaking with you in two more weeks at our next Fireside Chat. Next week, we're working on our new deal for animals, our new social contract that we will be sharing with the world, and we have much to update with you in 2 weeks. Friends, we want you all to be safe, and now we're going to start our question and answer period. If you have a question, please let our operator know, and we'd love to answer them for you. Wrinkle, are you ready?
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your line remains unmuted locally. I will then speak to you individually, take your full name, and introduce you to the call. Star 1 on your telephone keypad now.
What a beautiful voice she has, by the way.
Yes, she does. Any questions? We'd love to have your questions. And friends, as we're looking at questions, I do know we have one coming, and Rinkle will bring it to us. Again, on behalf of all of us at American Humane, I want to send a special shout-out to those supporting the Feed the Hungry campaign. It's just so heartwarming to know that we have served 323,000 meals to date and more to come because of your generosity. Thank you for making a difference in the lives of animals this very moment. Wrinkle, are we ready with our first question?
Thank you for your patience. We have a first question from the line of Pat. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi,
hello,
Robin.
Pat. How are you?
Good.
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. I don't know whether Bob is still there or not, but I was wondering whether that puppy mill was closed, and where do you stand with the puppy mills in the United States?
Yes, I am here. And are you talking about the puppy mill where I discovered later that my little Lucy must have come from? Because I discovered
yes.
It so late, and they did shut down that store. Yes, it was called Pet Love at the Beverly Center, right here in Beverly Hills. And they did shut that down, but it was way too late to ever trace down. I didn't become aware of puppy mills and things that were going on until later in my life, unfortunately. But now that I do, now that I know what's going on, I just want to do what I can to help spread the word, because once we know better, we can do better. I used to have my own animal rescue radio show, too, profiling different, puppy mills, people who are rescuing them, et cetera. And all we can do is educate people, because I don't think if people knew what was going on, that what how they were getting that cute little puppy in a pet store, if they knew what was going on to the with the parents, I don't think that they would do it. I don't think they'd choose to do it. And please, if anybody is looking to adopt a dog or a cat or any animal, please go look at your shelter. There's so many beautiful, wonderful animals there who have been surrendered either because they're old and people are tired of having an older dog, say, a family dog. It makes me just cry that the family dogs get surrendered at 14 because, you know, they're not good enough anymore or they can't do what they used to. Or maybe, honestly, maybe the family can't afford the medical care. But
Barbara, I want to share with you a I want to share with you a behind-the-scenes story with you and Pat and our listeners. In the puppy mill deployment that Barbara went on, it was a legal situation. It was a legal seizure of those hundreds of puppies and their mamas. And I'll tell you what was interesting. We had to go in and we had to set up these facilities in very quiet because it was going to be, they didn't want to influence the DA, the district attorney, and the sheriff did not want to influence a potential jury pool as to what was happening because they were going to really prosecute this criminal who had such a horrible situation of cruelty for hundreds and hundreds of precious animals. Well, we called the sheriff and we said one of our great champions, our national ambassador, Barbara Niven, wants to deploy. And he said to us, "Oh, no, you cannot have Barbara Niven. If she comes to our small town in Washington State, everybody will know something's up. My wife watches her all the time. They will know something's up. Why is Barbara Niven in town? And they'll figure it out that it's part of this cruelty case." Well, it was so funny. We had to work with the sheriff. We promised that Barbara would be very low-key, would stay in with our American Humane Rescue people. We would keep it very quiet that she was in town deploying. But the sheriff and his wife was a big fan of Barbara, and they were so thrilled that she came to that town to do that. They just wanted to keep it very, very quiet so they could not contaminate any jury pool. And that person was convicted, and that
So they were convicted.
They were absolute. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Pat, for that question. Another question I know.
As a follow-up, I want to know, are we doing anything about the puppy mills in the United States?
Yes, we do. And we've actually developed the first ever standards, Pat, that actually define what is a puppy mill, which is bad breeding, that is bad animal welfare standards, and what is responsible breeding. And those standards we are be rolling out in the next year. We've got much to update on that, but we've been the first national animal welfare organization that's actually developed standards defined by scientists and ethicists. I'm really proud of that work, too. The world's top ethicist has been involved in that, and we're testing that out as we speak. So much to report on that in the future Fireside Call. It is a cool case, though.
Thank you. And don't shop, everyone.
Thank you, and thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pat. We have our next question from the line of Connie Decker. Connie, please go ahead.
Hello and good afternoon. I was wondering, I had a puppy that I adopted back in 2002, and he went to his resting place 2018, and I have been thinking about adopting an older dog once the pandemic is done, and I wanted to know if you have organizations here in Michigan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Is it Connie? What's your first name?
Connie, yes.
Okay, hi. Well, you just touched on my heart because I really advocate for adopting senior pets, and I have fostered and adopted many because I kind of rearranged my house. I've got ramps going in and out of my doors and one through my bedroom wall to make it easy for the little legs to be able to go down and outside over steps. Also,
sounds familiar.
That little Lucy was deaf and almost completely blind till 16 and a half. She was going up and down the ramp because I painted the sides white so she could follow that because she could still see light. So there are so many ways. So I so advocate it. It's all the senior pet ones, mostly, they're so easy. They just want a lap to cuddle in.
Yes.
So, Robin, do you have, can you funnel her to someplace in Michigan?
Absolutely. Connie, what I'd like to do is have my rescue team that is so connected to shelters and rescue groups speak with you after the call. And now that we have your contact information, putting a note to our team so that we can reach out and give you some recommendations specifically given.
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely, because we want you to find that that wonderful animal who needs that forever loving home. And it sounds like you're the right person for a very special special friend. So we will work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for adopting a senior pet, one with special needs. It's so appreciated.
There's something else also, please. Forgive me for interrupting. I have been thinking about, because in the area where I am, I have not seen that they have homes for elderly dogs. And I have been thinking about starting a nonprofit organization for senior dogs. And with my pup, he was a Beagle and Sheltie mix, and just very, very precious, unconditional love. And even when he lost his hearing and his sight, as you're saying, you know, when they get older, they're just looking for a lap to lay on. And Barbara, with you, I full-heartedly can relate with you because Eli, at one point, to get up on the bed, needed stairs. And so I had stairs for him to get up on the bed. And when he lost his sight, going potty, it was like the first couple of times in teaching him to go downstairs, it was like, you know what, buddy, you've been here for me all these years. Now I'm here, you know, and just playful and whatnot. Now I'm here to help you. And it was a joy.
Thank you, Connie, for sharing that. We're about ready running out of our time now.
Sorry.
No worries, Connie, but thank you. And that will actually be the last call that we're able to have time for because we are running out of time together at our fireside chat. But, Connie, thank you for doing that. And we encourage people to continue to open their hearts and homes
and
for all animals.
Foster seniors, too, that's so rewarding. If I could just say that one last thing.
Absolutely.
Even if you can give them the best send-off, you know, I've fostered dogs that I only had maybe two nights, but I know, and then the next day he passed away in my arms, but he knew he was loved. He was part of the pack at my house, and I got way more out of giving to him than what he ever. I mean, I got so much more out of it than he did. So just look around for ways that you can, during this whole pandemic time, that you can be kind and help people that need it. Keep yourself safe and help both humans and animals. And I think we're all going to become on the other side of this with lessons learned, and we're going to be better people for it, I think.
Yes,
absolutely.
And you as well.
Thank you, Connie, for your love for animals. Thank you so much. And thank you for having that special heart for senior pets. I love them.
Thank you.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, Barbara, thank you for your love for animals and serving as a ray of sunshine and hope and positivity. And again, we're honored to give you a grant for your favorite shelter or rescue group, Feed the Hungry program. So do let me know, and
thank
we'd be
you.
Happy
That's
to rush those money
out. And I
want to
go and have another girls' weekend with you. I miss you.
Absolutely. I miss you, too. I can't wait till when we can travel again and I can come out to Los Angeles and spend time with you.
And no makeup. The best thing about this whole thing is I actually forgot how to put makeup on now. And that's kind of a good thing.
I love it. You're beautiful without makeup. That's for sure. On the inside and out.
More thing than makeup now. We're realizing what's really important. So, and friendship is. And I always will consider you one of my dearest friends.
I feel the same, Barbara. My heart for you. Thank you for everything that you do for animals, and thank you for being my friend. And friends, as we wrap up today's 7th Fireside Chat, let's don't forget, we're celebrating the 105th year of our Be Kind to Animals Week, May 3rd through May 9th. So please join us by checking out our website, AmericanHumane.org, BeKindToAnimals.org. Take our pledge and pledge to be kind to animals each day and every day in the years ahead. This is America's longest-running commemorative week, and it's something that we can look forward to celebrating together. Know that American Humane will be taking next week off from our weekly fireside chats as we work on our new deal, our new social contract for animals. So we really want to make sure that we get that to the entire world, to government leaders, to policymakers, as we look at a post-pandemic world. What does that mean for people, animals, and the world we share? Thank you, friends, for what you've done for animals. Continue to do to be the voice for their cause. Friends, God bless America, and God bless American Humane. Look forward to our next time together. Be safe and be well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines. Hosts and speakers, please stay on the line and await further instructions. Thank you.